Fathers, we consider these words from Paul to Timothy. Lord, help us to understand what he was saying to Timothy, and then in these words, help us to find things that will help us live a life that pleases you and that is productive and effective. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I've called this Instructions for a Young Missionary, and we tend to take words in the New Testament and not think about them in our present-day context. But we got our word apostle from apostolos, which means one sent forth. And when the Bible was translated from Greek to Latin, they translated it missiones, which means one sent forth. And we get our word missionary from that. And that's essentially what Timothy is. He's part of a missionary company. Paul is obviously the leader of it at that point in time. And Paul writes about Timothy, "We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith." And so Paul has sent Timothy to various places at various times, and now he's in Ephesus, and he's functioning as a representative of the group of missionaries. I think if you look at 1 Thessalonians, you can call Timothy an apostle. And he's young. And we just read this a couple weeks ago, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young." And so these are specific instructions to a young missionary, but there's a lot of stuff here that we can learn from. And the first thing I want to talk about is devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. Now, when you see this word for reading in the New Testament, it almost inevitably means to read out loud. Until the printing press showed up a whole lot of years later, there were very few copies of Scripture because everything had to be copied by hand. And so a major part of a service in a synagogue and then in a church would be the public reading of Scripture. And so we see in Acts 13:15, after the reading from the law and the prophets, the leaders of the synagogue sent word to them, it's Paul and Barnabas, saying, "Brothers, if you have a word of exhortation for the people, please speak." And so when you see the word "read" in terms of the Scriptures in the New Testament, assume public reading, because the average person simply didn't have anything other than maybe a couple verses in writing that they could read. And so it was important in the early church for the Scripture to be read publicly. Now it's interesting, preaching is paraklesis, and the verse I just read where they said to Paul and Barnabas, "If you have a word of exhortation for the people, please speak," is the same word. It's translated encouragement in Acts 5:36, where it says, "Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas," which means son of encouragement. Another form of the same word is used to describe the Holy Spirit in John 14:7. And it's fascinating if you look at that verse in different translations. Helper, comforter, advocate, encourager, and there are at least five or six other ways that you'll find it translated. The word covers a lot of territory. It's literally one called alongside to help, and the basic meanings are to admonish about bad behavior, to exhort, basically to urge someone to change their conduct, to encourage someone to do better. And I think that word encourage is interesting because it's really the word courage with the word in front of it. And the idea is to put courage into someone for them to keep on and to comfort someone who is suffering. And so Timothy is to devote himself to preaching, is essentially what we would say would cover those basic topics. And then he's told to devote yourself to teaching. And this one's a little interesting if you look up various translations again, because the word can refer to the act of teaching or to the content of teaching, that is, doctrine. Here it seems to refer to the act of teaching, although the other meaning is possible. Timothy was to devote himself to the public reading of Scripture. He was to make sure that the people that he was a spiritual leader of were heard the Scriptures read on a regular basis. He was to admonish, exhort, encourage, and comfort, that is preaching, and he was to devote himself to teaching what the Scriptures teach, so that God's people would know what the truth actually is. Now, the next verse gets a little interesting. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Those of you who know me know that I'm a little bit of a fanatic about don't throw out any part of the New Testament and say it doesn't apply. And so when we come to a passage like this, we got to think a little bit about what actually happened. Now, neglect translates a word meaning essentially to be careless about. And so Paul is telling Timothy, use and develop the gifts you have. Don't focus on doing what you're not gifted for. You know, one of the things I heard a lot when I started out in ministry was to really work on your weak points. The things that you don't do well, really work hard at learning how to do them. And although there may be some validity in that, I think what Paul is saying is God has gifted you to do some things. Do those. Do the things that God has gifted you to do. And yes, you're going to have to do some other things. And yes, you may have to work on them. But if God gave you a gift, use the gift God gave you and focus on serving the way that God equipped you to serve. Now, this applies to all of us because we all have at least one spiritual gift. 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And you'll notice in two of these passages, it talks about gifts, and then it talks about God's grace. Well, grace is charis. Gift is charisma. And the plural is charismata. That's where we get the word charismatic. A gift is a grace thing. It's something that God gives you to enable you to function in the body of Christ the way that he wants you to function. And every one of us has a gift that we are supposed to be using in service to others in the body of Christ. You know, it's like in the human body, and Paul uses this analogy in 1 Corinthians 12. Every part of the body exists to make the whole body work. No gift and no organ in the body exists for itself. Now, the word gift is not in 1 Corinthians 12:7, but it introduces three chapters on the subject of spiritual gifts and how they function. And it says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And you see the same thing here. A spiritual gift, you don't see the Holy Spirit inside, but the gift shows what the Holy Spirit inside is doing outwardly. And it doesn't have to be spectacular because most of the gifts are just normal things that happen in the body of Christ. But again, the emphasis now to each one. And then Romans 12, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. So I can look at anybody who is a child of God and say, you're gifted. You have a spiritual gift. God gave you something to equip you to serve in the body of Christ, and you need to be using your gift. Now, there are all sorts of ways to try to find out what your gift is, but I would say the simplest thing is to just start serving as opportunities come, and pretty soon you'll find out what isn't and what is your gift. Dave will pick on me, but my gift is not song leading, okay? That's not my gift. I teach, so I focus on teaching. Other people have other gifts, and song leading isn't a gift, but encouraging is. Now, what about this given through prophecy and the laying on of hands? Although American Christians primarily think of prophecy as foretelling the future, which it sometimes is, there's a lot of it in the Old and New Testament. Its primary significance is speaking forth the mind and will of God, which cannot be known by human means. I got that out of Vine's dictionary, and I thought it was a good definition. It is speaking forth what God's people need to hear, what God wants them to know. Now, we need to understand that when someone says, God told me, and then they make a bold proclamation, if they're saying something that God didn't tell them, that's seriously wrong. The Old Testament commanded that anyone who prophesied something in God's name that was not from God was to be put to death. That's serious stuff. Deuteronomy 18:20. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, is to be put to death. Now, let's put some balance here. All believers can prophesy in the sense of sharing God's already revealed truth. For you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The way that you evaluate prophecy is you go back to the Word of God. And I've quoted this verse so many times I didn't put it down this time. But Acts 17:11, those in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they searched the Scriptures daily to see if the things spoken by Paul were true. Well, if it was a commendable thing to check out the Apostle Paul, you better check out everybody else. And the way you check it out is you search the Scriptures. Now, Christians tend to go to extremes on this. We had a teacher in language school who always talked about don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. And there are some Christians who continue to trust prophets who often get things wrong. I'm going to be very honest with you and just say in this last election cycle, there were a lot of people who called themselves prophets who said categorically that a certain thing was going to happen, and it didn't. And frankly, I'm not going to listen to them because if they tell me God told them this and they were wrong, how do I know I can trust anything else they say? You see, if you stand up and say, God told me to tell this, then you better be sure that God told you to tell it. But the other extreme is to reject the concept of modern-day prophets altogether. And I know a lot of people who are in that camp who just say, it can't happen today. Well, it can. There's no reason in the Bible to believe it can't. But I would remind you that in the days of Jeremiah and Ezekiel in particular, and I think that's a really interesting fact because they were living among God's people at a time when God's people had so rebelled against God that judgment was inevitable, there were a lot of false prophets. And there were very few true prophets. And the false prophets were saying, everything is just wonderful and nothing bad is going to happen. And Jeremiah and Ezekiel were saying, oh no, God always judges sin. So don't throw out the concept of a prophet, but be very careful with what you believe. Because there are a lot of people out there that are going to say, God told me to say this, and they made it up? Or, as we started in 1 Timothy chapter 4, they are being deceived by evil spirits. That's also possible. In Matthew 7, 15 to 23, Jesus tells us to beware of false prophets who would even do miracles in his name. Be careful who you listen to. Now, how about this adding a gift? Although we all have gifts, we should be using. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12 at great length says, don't say, I don't want this gift. I want the gift he's got. That's like an eye wanting to be a foot or vice versa. There's nothing wrong for asking for or receiving another gift, because 1 Corinthians 12, 31 says to eagerly desire the greater gifts. And it follows a list where the gifts are given, at least the first three, in order of importance, and then. So what happened? Someone evidently prophesied that God was giving Timothy an additional gift. It was probably a commissioning service when the elders and Paul laid their hands on him. Paul says the gift was there through the laying on of his hands. Here he says through the laying on of the hands of the elders. And it's probably when Timothy was commissioned, although I couldn't prove that. And although this could happen today, there doesn't seem to be enough scriptural evidence to conclude this is the normal way additional gifts are received. I think if you're using the gift you have, and God puts an opportunity in front of you to serve in another way, you need to ask for a gift that will enable you to serve in that particular way. But don't ask for an additional gift if you're not using the one you've got. Use what God gave you, and then as God uses you in that way, very often other opportunities will open up, and you need to ask God to engift you to meet the needs he's putting in front of you. And then Paul writes to Timothy, be diligent in these matters. Give yourselves wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. The primary meaning of the word translated be diligent in is to practice something as a result of planning. Have a plan, stick to it. If you're going to grow spiritually, if you're going to accomplish anything, think about what God's doing in your life. Think about what God has gifted you in. Have a plan for spiritual development and grow. And I heard Gene say this, and I'm sure it wasn't original with him, but he said, progress is made by going in the same direction for a long time. And a lot of Christians, well, I'm going to do this. Oh, I'm going to do this. Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And they're never really going anywhere. They're just fluttering back and forth. Timothy is being told to be intentional about the public reading of Scripture, preaching and teaching, and be disciplined in following the plan so that everyone will see growth in his ability to preach and to teach. If you are growing spiritually, it should be obvious to those who are around you. And then the last verse in the chapter, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Notice that Paul says first, pay close attention to yourself before paying close attention to the teaching. Now, this follows a theme that you're going to see in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy if you watch it, where false teaching often follows rejecting your conscience. You saw that 1 Timothy 1, 19 and 20, and then one of the guys is mentioned in 2 Timothy 2, 17 and 18 as someone who was teaching that the resurrection was past. But the problem started when he stopped listening to his conscience and listening to what the Holy Spirit was telling him. Again, teaching can mean either the act of teaching or the content of teaching, that is, doctrine. Either or both meanings are possible here. Pay close attention to what you teach and or how you teach it. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. When I think of persevere, I think of trial, but that's not really the meaning here. It means essentially to continue for a long time. You know, go in the same direction for a long time to make progress. Now, when we think of the word save, we almost inevitably think about the moment of salvation when someone comes to faith in Jesus Christ and asks them to save them from the penalty of their sins. But it means a lot of different things. It's ozo. It means to rescue. When the disciples were in the boat and the wind and the waves were getting fierce, they said to Jesus, "Lord, save us." It means to heal in a number of places. It can mean to survive in Matthew 24. Most commonly, it's used to mean being saved from the eternal and temporal consequences of sin. Now, salvation has three tenses. We have been saved from the eternal consequences of sin. We're not going to hell after we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. We are being saved from the power of sin in our lives. It's used that way in a number of contexts. And someday we're going to be saved from even the very presence of sin when we're in heaven. So Timothy is being told that persevering in paying close attention to his life and to his doctrine and teaching will not only save him from the temporal consequences of sin, but it will also save those who listen to him from the temporal consequences of sin, and it may lead some to salvation from the eternal consequences of sin. Bad teaching has consequences. Good teaching enables people to live godly lives. So some things to remember. Those in ministry need to be diligent in preaching and teaching. We all should use the gifts God has given us. The church is a body with many parts, and every part is important, and everyone has a gift, and everyone should be using it. We are encouraged to desire and even seek greater gifts. There's nothing wrong with wanting more gifts, but don't say, "I want somebody else's gift," if you're not using your own. Gifts can be given through prophecy and the laying on of hands. It happened. But that does not seem to be the norm. It shows up a couple times, and there's all sorts of other teaching about gifts that doesn't mention anything like that. Those in ministry, and all of us, need to pay close attention to our lives. And those who teach need to pay close attention to their teaching. Pay attention to what's going on in your life. Ask God to show you what he wants to change. There should be an ongoing process where we are asking God to help us grow, to help us change, to help us become more like Jesus. Bad teaching has bad consequences. Teaching is important. Knowing truth is important. Good teaching generally has good consequences. And we need to pay attention to what we're listening to. And not just church, but we need to pay attention to the teaching we get by watching television and watching all sorts of other things that have a definite mindset, a definite worldview, a definite way of looking at life that it affects how we think. Because truth will set us free. Lies enslave us. Teaching is important. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, as I said, this doesn't really talk to most of us in terms of being young missionaries. But Lord, there's a lot here for all of us. Lord, help us to function the way you equipped us to function. Help us to know what our gifts are. Help us to use them to serve others. Help us to be diligent in our spiritual lives, that we may grow in such a way that people can see that you're working in us. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.